Thank you. I have nothing to disclose. All right, so I'm going to talk about our statewide collaborative, first the background and the history, and talk about the synergy with other organizations and how much or little it costs, and finally what we've been able to accomplish. So here is our fair state. It's not very big geographically. And most of it, our population is centered over in the eastern part around Boston. We do have some mountains in the west. Our population has been declining. It's down to about 72,000 births per year. We've closed a few birth centers since our collaborative started in 2008. And our largest hospital was delivering 8,000 to 10,000 births a year and is now delivering about 6,200 births a year. When our collaborative started in 2008, there really weren't other collaboratives back in the U.S. that we knew of, maybe one. There was one baby-friendly hospital in our entire state of 50 maternity facilities, Boston Medical Center, where Ann hails from. There were three hospitals and one birth center on the baby-friendly pathway, and that was it. So we were pretty much behind. The general climate at the time was that any breastfeeding efforts in all the hospitals were pretty much run by the lactation consultants, who were pretty much had no buy-in from their management, and they were banging their heads against the wall because they couldn't really get anything done. Everything was relegated to them, and there wasn't any leadership that they couldn't implement anything, and everybody was saying, well, it's up to the LC, it's up to the LC, and the LC had no power to change anything. People couldn't even use the word breastfeeding or baby-friendly to accomplish any change in our state because they were sort of dirty words, and people thought that you were going to shove breastfeeding down someone's throat, and you couldn't say the word baby-friendly because that was just, people would run away and scream. So that was the climate that we were working in, and this was the Northeast, so I can even imagine in other parts of the country where breastfeeding was even a more hostile topic that it was way worse. So this is how it was for us, and we were one of the better states for breastfeeding. So I started thinking about collaboratives. So in the background of this is, in my day job, I'm an internal medicine physician and I'm a hospitalist. And in my day job, where I don't work with pretty much any nursing mothers and no babies, I was doing a lot of work on medication reconciliation. And I was working with the Massachusetts Coalition for the Prevention of Medical Errors around medication reconciliation. This was a statewide collaborative that had formed around the topic of medication reconciliation, and this was well before Joint Commission had made it a requirement. In fact, I was working on this topic before it was even called medication reconciliation in my little community hospital where I had been working at the time. And so this state coalition, this organization, had gathered all the hospitals in the state and brought them all together to work on this topic, and that is actually became one of the models for the movement that led Joint Commission to make it a requirement. So we were one of the models for the U.S., this coalition, and I was one of the leaders in that. Our hospital was like one of the first to do some of the more leading, cutting-edge things in that topic, and I was one of the physician champions for that. So that was the model for our collaborative. And I thought, well, MedRec is an incredibly difficult thing, and if you can accomplish that, you can accomplish anything. And so the parallels between MedReconciliation and breastfeeding are very similar because they're both like impossible. So this is where my day job and my breastfeeding work overlapped in mysterious ways. So that became the model for our collaborative. Like, if we could do that, we can do baby friendly. So at the time, I was researching a paper with Allison Stubbe, Kat Sheely from the CDC, Marshall Walker, and Larry Grummerstrong from the CDC on how to improve breastfeeding in the hospital. And one aspect of that was, well, we could have collaboratives. So I was researching what other kind of collaboratives were out there, and I thought, well, you know what? We could just do a collaborative in our state. Why wait till the paper gets published? We could just make one. And so we thought, let's just do it. And how will we do it? And I thought, well, if we just say we're the Massachusetts Breastfeeding Coalition, and I was the chair of that at the time, and I have been the chair until September of this year, no one's going to come because we have the word breastfeeding in our title, and no one will ever come because we're just breastfeeding people. So we really want the stakeholders to come, because that's been the whole problem. It's just breastfeeding people, and we need managers to come. So we said, well, the only way people are going to come is if we partner with the Department of Public Health and try to get the stakeholders in all these hospitals to come. So we decided we would just start really small and just start with the four facilities that were already on the pathway and have DPH invite them to join. And we had a really long and close relationship with DPH. They were founding members of our coalition. Their state coordinator was always part of our coalition. We had a very close working relationship with them when we were writing the famous Ban the Bags regulations that Mitt Romney overturned. And so we work really closely with them, and so they sent a letter out inviting these four facilities to join our collaborative, and they came. So they sent letters, and it worked, and our collaborative was born in November of 2008. And we were very fortunate in our neighboring state of Rhode Island that they had a couple of baby-friendly hospitals, and they had one nurse, LC, who had helped two of those hospitals go baby-friendly, and we had actually given her an honorarium to help lead our first couple of meetings and help guide us, and people came. And the first meetings were really something. All we did was basically pay for food, and in the first couple of meetings we realized that people were all in their silos, banging their heads against the wall, feeling like they couldn't get anywhere. And it was mostly emotional support from each other, that people were all banging their heads against the wall in isolation. And stakeholders came to the first meetings. After that, I will admit that less stakeholders came later, but the important part is that we had at least buy-in from them. We used the Mass Coalition for the Prevention of Medical Errors motto, which was share seamlessly and steal shamelessly. And we just borrowed ideas from one another. We started with the stuff from Rhode Island, and then as we each developed stuff, and we used stuff from Boston Medical Center, and they came and helped us. We just borrowed stuff from each other and learned from each other. We had the meetings at supper times. We fed each other, and we celebrated small victories, and, you know, we ran problems by each other. We met about every 6 weeks, and people really looked forward to the meetings, and it became just this very positive, like a support group. It was both technical assistance, part technical assistance, part group therapy. It was really a wonderful thing. We rotated around different hospitals, and It grew by word of mouth. We started with the four groups, and then it just grew. When we started, we had no idea how long this would last. We didn't know if it would be a year or a week. We didn't know. Anyway, oh my God. Okay, we kept a table. This is an example. We kept a table of which steps all the hospitals were doing. Mother-Baby Summit started the next year, led by Bobby Phillip of Boston Medical Center. That was all around stakeholders. That kept the collaborative kept the energy going through the year. She got about 90% of all the hospitals in the state to participate. She highlighted small special topics for inspiration, like delaying the bath and skin-to-skin in the OR. By 2012, DPH got some grant money to do baby-friendly trainings, and by then they called them baby-friendly trainings. Everyone came. Every hospital pretty much sent someone to these trainings, and they came, and they got rave reviews, and we used a faculty from our hospitals that had gone baby-friendly. By then, we'd had several hospitals go baby-friendly. People loved it. And we entered a new phase of our collaborative by January 2013. Where we decided we'll step it up, because now lots of states had collaboratives. DPH sent out another letter. We had 130 people from like most of the hospitals in the state. It's a huge cooperative effort. Now breastfeeding is a shared goal of quality maternity care in our state. Everyone's involved, and now we're working with a new group, the Mass Perinatal Quality Collaborative, which is a highly resourced group. They work on things like early preterm delivery and maternal hemorrhage. We're working with them to do data collection around the Joint Commission core measures. And we're going to be their breastfeeding expert group to them. And this is our cost, the shoestring part. Nothing. It costs us nothing. We buy pizza. We buy, you know, host hospitals might pay for dinner, or we pay for something. We don't pay our faculty. We buy cakes when people get baby-friendly. So we now have had several things go baby-friendly. Of the four original groups, two of them got baby-friendly. This is Bobby Phillip with the next baby-friendly institution. More followed. Cakes. So of our victories are the two of the biggest, most influential hospitals in the state are on the pathway, expected to become baby-friendly soon. These hospitals train a lot of people in the nation, major teaching hospitals in the Harvard system, and they are an inspiration to all of us, because if they can go baby-friendly, well, heck, anyone can do it. Brigham and Women's with 6,200 deliveries a year. We used to joke, and they were called the baby hostel hospital before. So they inspire us. They are amazing. And we leave these meetings feeling so pumped up. DPH gives awards every year at our annual conference, and this year we helped them think of the awards. It was Who Does Skin to Skin in the OR, and 18 hospitals nominated themselves for doing it. That was a theme at the Mother Baby Summit. That was like totally inspiring. So I just asked Trish McEnroe of Baby Friendly USA, so how many hospitals do we have now? And we're up to 23 of our 47 hospitals are on the Baby Friendly pathway. In addition to the six hospitals that have been designated now. So we're all helping one another. It costs us like nothing. It is awesome. My take-home messages are: small steps can carry huge inspiration. Little tiny victories can carry huge momentum. Like when we hear, you know, our hospital delayed the bath and we now no longer can even count the last time we had a hypoglycemic baby, you know, that pumps us all up. We collaborate, we don't compete, and it really doesn't cost us anything. So we can do it. You guys can do it. Thank you.